All right, we want to dive back into the Kings here in just a couple of minutes. I say back into the Kings conversation because we had a great one with James and Kyle to start things out during the handoff. If you haven't tapped in for that yet, the show essentially begins now at 11:45, and the insiders don't necessarily run 2 hours anymore. They run 2.5 hours. Dealing with KC, don't really run 4 hours anymore. We run 4.5. So it's been a lot of fun to kind of have that, you know, crossover with them. And it's created some really good conversations. So I want to get back into some of the things that we talked about and, you know, pose some questions that we were talking about amongst ourselves before the show started. Before we get there, though, the A's continue to play good baseball.
Yeah. They're cooking. They are cooking. That offense is. I don't want to exaggerate it. That's why I want to pause just a little bit.
You know what would be a great reason to pause?
What's that?
Is because you have to tell people about Prize Picks, and I literally said that right before the commercial break. Every once in a while, I direct traffic and I lead Kenny right in front of a car. Every once in a while, it's just like, hey, come on, Kenny, you're good. Cross the street. And a Mack truck hits him. That's my bad. Go ahead. People got money to make.
Yeah, well, it's all good. And we definitely got a couple dollars to make. And you guys already know Prize Picks is the way to go. We talked about the game earlier, Texas, Ohio State, that we may or may not be able to see.
Who knows?
But I got a lineup ready for that game, ready to go. My main man, Arch Manning. I'm an Arch Manning believer.
Yeah.
I got him in the lineup. They got him at 30.5 pass attempts. I think it's going to be lower than that. Sark is going to try and run the ball, try and control the game on the ground before he makes Arch throw the ball 30, 40 times on the road like that. So I'm going less with 30.5 pass attempts. Jeremiah Smith, maybe the best college football player in the land today. They got him at 5.5 receptions. If Ohio State wants to win this game, yeah, it needs to be more than 5.5 receptions. Mm-hmm. They need him close to 10, if you ask me. Julian Sain, the quarterback, the new quarterback for Ohio State, they got him at 1.5 pass touchdowns. Give me less on that. Give me less. I don't think that's going to happen at all. And my man Q, I'm going to just call him Q Wisner, the running back for Texas, they got him at 0.5 a rush or receiving touchdown as a demon. I went more on that. Went more, man. So make sure you stay tapped in with me. I'm going to be posting it on the socials for sure. You can download the Prize Pick app. Make your own lineup. Make sure you put in that promo code, KIFM, to get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. $50 goes towards the Prize Picks. Your profile, lineup. Lineup, whatever you want to do with it right there. But you get it no matter whether you
it's
want
to. It's not $50 that you go get lunch with.
Yeah, no, you can't. You're not getting right. A check for $50 if you put it in there.
But you could turn that $50 into $250 if
absolutely.
You're smart.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. So put in the promo code KIFM to get $50 towards your Prize Picks lineup, your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks. Run your game. Man. Back to back. Back to back for securing the Bagley. Zay wasn't even in the running today. So I don't know what's going on with him. But securing
I don't know.
The Bagley,
maybe he's working. Maybe he's earning a living for him and Jasmine. Who knows?
Securing the Bagley is not playing around, Zaybo. So you might want to stay tapped in. You might want to stay tapped in.
You better not find out who's at work.
Oh, yeah, God forbid. God forbid Zabo be at work earning a living, contributing to his 401k.
He could earn a living by playing Prize Picks.
Let's not encourage that.
I was going to say, that's true, Kenny. Yeah, I'm on the same thing as you. I was like, yeah, I'm going to leave that one alone.
Let's not encourage that. Zabo says, so sorry, I guess.
You changed. Yo, he's here. Yeah,
let's be honest. Like half of these people quit the league a week ago.
They're gonna transfer over, and these numbers transfer over when it becomes.
How many people are gonna screw up the new tagline on Tuesday?
BRL.
See, maybe we do that. Like you gotta abbreviate it and then throw in the 3 exclamation marks and the 3 fire emojis.
Yeah. Did we ever find out what the BFWL?
Oh my God.
BFWL.
I guess we never found out.
I have no clue what that could possibly be.
That's a random ass.
And why were you keeping track of it?
Why didn't we get score that day? Like, that's right. How come no one got a point?
Oh, you know what it is? You know what it is. And I don't know why. I don't know how we were going to do this, but it's the Baker Family Wines League. I just thought about it. It just dawned on me.
How did we not remember that? Baker Family Wines, BFWL League.
But what the hell is the league?
When you started to read or I started to read, they'd have to get in there just like the Run Your Game League.
And do what?
Say Baker Family Wines or something. I don't know.
Let me ask you, but was this some nonsense that you created?
No, I think
when
you were here for
this.
No, yeah.
I didn't have my notepad on.
I actually must have been gone for this day, I think. This must have been a Madsen producer day.
It just hit me right now. That's what that was for. Who knows? Might still be around.
Well, we were just supposed to. All right. So the A's got
to
win last.
Yeah, we got
night.
6 minutes to kill now.
Hey, Kyle and James, the insiders, tend to know. They asked the question, or somebody asked them the question, and they talked about
it. Bake your wine? Like, what is the...
That's a point for Johnny. Give him a point.
There we go.
Drink your wine?
I like bake your wine. I like it.
All right.
Johnny G, even though that wasn't an official read, we'll give it to him anyway.
Norm says, sip your red? Like, it doesn't even have a slogan.
It does now. Bake your wine.
Bake your wine. Good time.
Johnny G's on the scoreboard. Shout
good
out
time,
Johnny
Good
G.
time to remind everybody, we'll be at Baker Family Wines in West Sacramento coming up September 14th. We'll be there watching 49ers football and unveiling their new wines. It's a big wine release day. It's going to be an awesome Sunday afternoon out there. Baker Family Wines in West Sacramento. Make your plans to be with us if you've never had the opportunity to sip some of these incredible wines that Dusty Baker and his team have put together. And I've been told he'll be there.
Mm.
I was told straight up, Dusty going to be there.
Let's go.
Normally they don't tell us until the days prior.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, they'll tell me an hour prior, hey, can you let everybody know Dusty going to be there? I was told flat out last week, Dusty Baker going to be there.
Come on now. Come on. Let's kick it.
So pull up on us.
Well, my man, Dusty Baker. Maybe the slogan could be, it's good to drink wine. Maybe that's the slogan.
It's good to, well.
It's good to drink wine.
Full circle, run your wine.
Run
your wine.
Oh. Run your wine is hilarious.
Maybe drink responsibly.
There you go.
Maybe
I'll take
that should be the tagline.
I'll take that one. But no, on the insiders, they were asking a question because the A's have been playing.
So the A's won in a walk-off last night.
They've been playing so well as of late. Somebody asked the question, do you think the A's could get to 500? And I think they'd have to be, I think Kyle said 19-9. They'd have to finish 19-9. That's doable.
It's plus, yeah.
With the way
I mean,
playing.
The way that they're playing.
Yeah.
Well, what, yeah, okay. Yes, but like, what would that all be together? Like, because what are we at now? 17-9 in the last 26. I mean, that's a pretty impressive stretch of baseball if you tack on 19-9 to that.
36-18.
Now, you guys said yesterday that this team could be really dangerous next year. Mm-hmm. Maybe no better way to kind of, you know, prepare for that than to play good baseball in the final. God, you're approaching 50, 60 games? The final 60 games of the season, 50 games of the season?
I'd say less
once
than
you
that,
factor
probably.
It, once you factor it
oh,
all in.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
you because 19 and what would you say Kyle said 19-9?
Yeah.
That's 28 games, and I can't remember what I just said that they're doing.
17-9, I think you said before that.
Yeah, so that's 50 something games right there. In every other league, that's a good stretch of the season. In baseball, it's just whatever.
There's a chance they finish with a better record than the Giants.
For sure.
They're four back in the loss column right now.
Yeah. They have their schedule. They've got Boston 6 times. They've got Houston 3 times. They've got Cincinnati 3 times. Mm-hmm. And I think Kansas City is solid, too. They might be trying to get into the playoffs by the time they play them to end the season as well. So I think they play too many good teams to have a 19-9 stretch from here on out. So I don't think they'll get to 500. But the fact that we're even...
I mean, Detroit's a pretty good baseball team, and they...
No, very true.
They got
very
them last night.
Yeah. But the fact that we're even thinking about having this conversation is a testament to how they've been able to play. You mentioned it, 17-9 in this stretch of 26 games. They are laying the groundwork, in my opinion, for what could be next year. And when I mean what could be, I'm not saying they'll compete for a division, but I think they're laying the groundwork to compete for a playoff spot next year. Absolutely. This offense is loaded.
It's incredible the adversity they've been able to overcome playing on quicksand, lava.
Lava.
I'm sure I'm missing other things. The mound, Luis Severino falling down.
Yeah, remember when he fell down?
Twice,
like,
I think.
All right, man. All right, Luis Harden.
Well, did you see
the monster in the batter's box that eats up the ankles there? Yeah.
Carlos Correa, he there's no way I'm playing.
Two games in my career, boys. What do you want?
Meanwhile, people are hitting bombs left and right.
Did you see Riley Green's home run? He hit it to here. The ball landed in our parking lot. Like, why is the ball?
I'm telling you, one time a home run's going to knock someone down on those scooters.
Oh, my God.
I want to see what.
I think they had it at 471. Let me go back into these notes. I think it was 470. That seems outrageous.
I want to see what.
It was 471.
I want to see what the farthest. If that, you guys think that'll be the farthest home run that'll be hit there?
Because
if it's not that, I want to see what that.
What was the like. What was the one, the 4th of July? There was one that was hit. I think it was over 4th of July weekend.
What's his name hit a bomb? The center fielder.
Denzel Clark.
He hit a bomb.
But I feel like that was 470-something, too.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
If we play this home run clip, will they hit us with a copyright?
Who knows, man? Major League Baseball hates fun.
I mean, he got it over. This is what I was like looking at for Nick Kurtz.
Yeah, his was what was that?
Nick Kurtz.
471 was
Denzel Clark.
Yeah.
This is what I was looking, because Kurtz hit one on that batter's eye, like high up on the batter's eye. And I was like, I wonder what it looked like if somebody hit it.
That's a high fly ball.
Look at this. Hit it over the batter's eye. That is launched. Absolutely launched.
Monster.
I still say, and they say it was like 410 or 420 or something. Tatis's homer to left, they need to remeasure that one. That looked like it went about 450.
Crazy.
It was a bomb, man. A's win again, though. Play tonight, looking for the sweep.
Well, that's fine. We need to take a break. The Giants came to game on, I think, St. Louis and Cincinnati. Their home record is just...
It's abysmal. It's an embarrassment.
It's so bad. You know what's funny? Okay, I'll tell you when we get back. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Kings, and I'll tell you what's funny, and it's Kenny that's funny, and I'll explain why. When D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
When is the last time you had a Western bacon cheeseburger, Damian?
Minimum 2 decades.
Oh.
Maybe we do that, too, because like, you've been on this tour where it's like, oh, yeah, Damian takes Costco. Damian takes Target, like regular people's spots.
So you know what?
Maybe
you know
we
what?
Do Damian takes Western bacon cheeseburger next.
You know what happened over the weekend that I actually thought of you? I was like, Jesse will find this funny. Morgan, the 4-year-old, has taken a liking to Top Ramen. And she's in TK now. We've got to pack her little lunch. She just likes the noodles. It's not like she just wants the noodles. So,
yeah.
True story, over the weekend, I was like, I don't know. I don't remember. How do you make this? Like, I do not remember how to make this. So we make it and we do the whole thing. And it's like, I'm starving. So I just take like a bite. And I was like, God damn.
Yeah, throw some tabbouleh and mustard in there too. You'll be good.
Like, yo, these noodles are fire.
Yeah, you hook it up with the right sauce, it goes crazy,
bruh. And then I'm like, I don't want to look at. I don't want to know what's in here.
Oh no!
All I know again, I've had Top Ramen before, but you asked how long since a Western bacon cheeseburger. If it's been 2 decades since a Western bacon cheeseburger, it's probably been 2.5, 3 decades since Top Ramen. And I took that bite. I was like, oh my God. And I start, and Kay's like, oh, it was good, right? And I start walking around. I go, oh, Jesse's going to get a kick out of this.
Hey, you pair that with a tuna sandwich, bag of chips. Oh, that's the best meal I ever had in college.
Good to go.
The most repeated line in our house is beat it, kid. That is
glad I got influence.
That's the Jesse Tapia special. Beat it, kid. Which, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that's what happens with these little meals for the kids.
Oh, like, my God!
Ryan got some chicken nuggets. That they're almost like pop. You know how they do like popcorn chicken nuggets, and it's like a Tyson brand. It's just, you know, some you get from Costco, freezer, put in the freezer, big bag of them, whatever. Those things are delicious. Like, I make that. I make them for her.
Mm-hmm.
She maybe has, like, a 4 count.
Mm-hmm.
I always put 7 in the air fryer. Mm-hmm.
I'll probably
get my 3.
I'll probably shed a tear the day Damien comes in. He's like, you know what's not bad? And I can't believe it. Little Caesars. It's really hard and ready. I can't believe it.
No. Look. You know what's not bad, actually? Chuck E. Cheese pizza. It's actually pretty good.
All right, man.
All right,
I'm telling you, look, both of y'all. When both of y'all go to Chuck E. Cheese and have some pizza,
beat it,
like, I need a time machine to go back to Chuck E. Cheese.
Zach, no, you need a kid.
Well, yeah, a time machine, fine. I need to go back, go forward a couple years.
Or you need nieces and nephews. Shout out. Everybody has their... You know somebody that at some point will have their birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese.
No, shout out to the Chuck E. Cheese in San Jose. I probably had like my first 5 birthday parties there.
Chuck E. Cheese, they do
Little Caesars.
They do what they do. I'm mad at Little Caesars though. They up the price. So I'm like,
yeah, the hot and ready's pretty expensive.
Yeah, having all these snacks around, like, it's tough. Like, my house used to be not that. This is just clean. You got snacks in the house? Nope. Sure don't. Now I've got snack compartments, multiple ones. The savory ones are over here. The sweet ones are where they can't reach and they can't see, so they don't know that. The worst thing is I had no idea. I just knew, like, I can't have this, so it's no big deal, is that Nutella stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. Reese like
that. That's just
stuff.
Chocolate. Yeah. Not frosting, hazelnut, but whatever.
It's,
yeah.
It's a hazelnut butter that they mix with chocolate. Nah. And Audrey likes peanut butter and strawberry sandwiches with the, so the first time I was like, yeah, I got you. I made her one and I cut a strawberry and was like, oh, some on the knife. And I, you know, put it on the strawberry and I think I melted. I was like, hey, now there's like Nutella biscuits and like cookies. And it's just like, it's bad. And they don't even ask for it. I'll be at the store like, oh, look. I bet the kids will like this.
You guys want this, don't you?
Yeah.
Is this fact right here? The Chuck E. Cheese in San Jose is the largest in the world?
I can neither confirm.
Malcolm X said it, so how could it be wrong? You going to tell Brother Malcolm that he wrong?
I'm going to believe him, because he's a big-ass Chuck E. Cheese. He's not wrong.
I've never been to that Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, ask if it's the Chuck E. Cheese on Tully Road. Yes, that one. It's got three big old mascots, like just giant, more than life-size mascots just in the windows.
That's in San Jose?
Yeah. It's right when you get off the freeway, you'll see it.
Yeah, never been to that one.
Shout out to Katrina. Katrina says, oh, but have you tried cookie butter? Oh, sweetie. Yes. I make cookies with cookie butter. Have you had cookie butter before?
I haven't had cookie
butter. It's those cookies like that you get on the planes. It begins with a B.
The Biscoff.
That. It's that. Blend it into like a butter, like a peanut butter type thing.
Okay. Goes crazy.
Child.
Mm.
Mm. Love is my shepherd.
Have to try it.
Yeah, you're going to have to do it.
Gotta have to try it.
Adam L., radio listeners are so confused why the Malcolm X was talking about Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, man. Shout out to everybody on 1320 AM, 98.5 FM, HD2. I was going to say this. We were talking baseball for a second. We were talking about the A's. Giants got a win last night against the Cubs. Thank God Verlander was able to win a game at home.
Yeah, big ups to him. His first win at Oracle Park.
I had put some notes as we prepared for the show that the Giants just – look, the Giants won. That's all that matters. But they've only won 3 of their last 18 home games. That's Kenny – in his preparation for the show, wrote, that is embarrassing. But that's not all. Because if Kenny had a signature, his signature would be SMH.
Just shaking my head when I read that stat.
He doesn't just include that on Twitter. No. He includes that in our notes. That's when I know Kenny's truly going to be fired up about something.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. I read that stat. I said, are you serious?
How we never did, and we still could. How we haven't done a D'Lo and KC or a KC SMH shirt over on DLoandKC.com is wild, which is still in existence, by the way.
It is, man. I was thinking the other day, I got to get some gear.
You say that all the time.
Well, now it's a different time of year, so I need to get some crew necks. I got to go over there and see what's popping. But that's ridiculous. That's embarrassing.
Even I haven't been to that website in a while. Let me make sure it is, in fact, still there. DLoandKC.com. Yep, still works.
That's embarrassing. They should be embarrassed. Bob Melvin should be embarrassed. All those players should be embarrassed. Because if you...
I forgot we got a Club Malik shirt. Absolutely forgot that thing existed.
Well, we can still use it.
Thank God.
Still here.
Don't trade Malik. We are not putting Club Malik's onto the discount rack.
It's still here. The part of that 18-3, winning three out of your last 18 at home, includes getting swept by the Pirates and losing 2 of 3 to the Washington Nationals. And losing 2 of 3 to the Tampa Bay Rays, who aren't that bad, but still. That's egregious. That's egregious. It's awful. Those guys.
Absolutely awful.
We talk about the Kings and being better at home. The Giants absolutely need to be better at home moving forward. You can't have that. And especially being better at home against teams that you would think you should be able to take care of no matter where you're playing, but definitely at home. No disrespect to the Pirates, but the Pirates fit that category. Mm-hmm. The Nationals fit that category. The Marlins fit that category. When you lost, got swept by them. That's just, they gotta find a way to fix that. And the funny thing is, when you talk about the Giants, when you talk about the Kings and all this other stuff, I'm not sure how you fix that. I'm not really sure how you fix that. I don't think the Giants or the Kings are not playing as hard at home as they are on the road. I think they're giving effort. I think they're aware of it. They're trying to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just hasn't been successful. And especially in baseball, like I don't think they're just chilling at home. That's when you start to ask the question, is it too much pressure for some of these guys at home? The expectations of the home crowd and, you know, when you have a really good crowd like at the Golden 1 Center,
mm-hmm,
or at Oracle Park, where they're living on dying in every game and every play.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too much for some of the guys on that roster?
That'd be kind of tough if it was, because I don't imagine playing at Oracle Park is like playing at Yankee Stadium. Like, but like that's pressure. Playing at those places is pressure. I'd figure Oracle Park.
Oracle Park,
the atmosphere is great, but I don't think like it's like, oh, like they'll jump on you if you're not doing it right or anything like that. Like that fan base, I figure, is just more behind you than anything.
There's pressure playing at Yankee Stadium if you're playing there like twice or three times or four times or something like that. Is there really pressure if you're playing there 81 times?
I think so, because those guys will be on your head.
Yankee Stadium?
You can't escape
it.
Any home stadium.
Like, you're there 81 times.
But it's the game, the actual game, and it's everything surrounding the game. Like, if you're not playing well at Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park, you're going to hear it in on the field,
sure,
the people in the stands.
Sure.
And then when you go to a restaurant, they're going to look at you some type of way.
You're a bum.
right. And I think that isn't for everybody. You know, sometimes you want to go to a place like St. Louis or Miami where it's not as intense at home during a game in July.
I feel like
not as intense. St. Louis,
that's a big baseball town.
It is, but they have the reputation of being very friendly.
Yeah.
Like they don't boo the home team, none of that other stuff. I think Ramos mentioned something about a week ago when he was talking about, and he said it got taken out of context, but he was talking about how...
Of course it did.
How, you know, all these he hears it, whether it's in the stands or whether it's on sports radio when he goes out to eat or something like that. He's like, yeah, all these fans, you know, they were cheering us when we're doing good. But now, you know, it's different energy. Like he's hearing something at some time.
Yeah, that's normally how it works.
And it,
sorry.
Yeah. And it affected him. So I think.
Didn't Shohei acknowledge he heard a heckler the other day? The day he hit.
Yeah, didn't he dap him up?
Yeah, he dapped him up after he hit the homer.
Yeah, he hit. It was the day he hit 45.
Yeah, and dapped him up.
What a legend.
KC, your thoughts?
Who's a legend?
Shohei.
He is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, what was that reaction for?
Shohei's that dude.
I wasn't talking about the fan.
He's that dude. Shohei, that dude.
Yeah.
I wish he played a field every now and then.
He does. He pitches.
Yeah.
Schefter,
you see when they got him out of that that opener role, he got shelled.
Mm. Baby steps. We just got back from Tommy John.
He's an opener. Pitch him 3 innings max.
Is that a thing?
The opener?
An opener, yeah. That's new baseball.
Unfortunately.
Was he Rey Mysterio out here?
That's a new baseball.
Unfortunately.
Red Sox had an opener the other day.
Giants Farhan used to have an opener, and I was like, get this out of here.
I remember the starter by committee thing, but we've got a full-on.
I think the Dodgers had an opener that did that in the World Series, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was because they ran out of pitching.
A little bit of both, I guess. Yeah. But, yeah, now we'll see teams where, you're going to throw an inning or two, and then so-and-so.
I think we just created a name for irresponsible pitcher management. We got an opener.
So I will say this. I don't like the opener. I'm old school. I want my starter going 7 innings. And
new baseball stinks, if we're being real.
It does. But if you believe, like, hey, getting off to a good start matters, like the whole idea of it is use your bullpen in the beginning in the game and use your starter to close the game, essentially, as opposed to flipping that. Like, I got my starter who's going 7 innings to start the game, and then I got my bullpen –
But aren't you asking him to do the same thing?
Yeah, you're just flip. That's the point. Like, you're doing the same thing. You're just flipping when you do it. Which, all right. Like, I understand the logic. I don't agree.
So in this scenario, when does the starter come in?
Like the third or fourth inning.
Oh, okay.
And he may go
goes
from,
through nine.
Yeah, he may go from the fourth to the ninth. If he's cooking.
I got you.
Sometimes they'll go full bullpen all game, though.
Sometimes they'll definitely be like 1 inning here, 2 innings, one inning. Like that.
All-star game. It's an all-star game rotation.
Exactly.
See, Polo's got it right here. The bullpen games are scary because the moment one of your guys gives up 2 runs, you're cooked. Because the whole entire bullpen's going to fall apart after that.
Right. I hate the bullpen game. I really do. But, yeah, that's having the opener. That's what Shohei is now.
Bring it back to when guys were throwing 115 pitches, complete games, arms falling off, all that.
Yes.
Jesse wants carnage in his baseball.
I can't respect you as a starting pitcher if you're not going 7. Oh. Let's go.
Can you respect the starting pitcher who got their first home win?
I can, because he's in
August.
That's crazy.
That's insane. That is crazy. That is absolutely
And it's only
insane.
A month after he got his first win. It wasn't that long first ago win, he got his first win.
His first win, period.
Yeah. This Verlander run is...
Is it 2-10? It's in the... he's 2-10.
Oh, man.
This Verlander run at the end here is just what the Undertaker tough. Was to end his career to.
Now, to be fair to Justin Verlander...
This is Undertaker versus Goldberg and Saudi Arabia.
I'm glad you finally saw highlights of that too recently.
Yeah, that was tough.
I was not selling that one. That was real.
Nah, that was tough.
I want to see something real quick, because to be fair to Justin Verlander, the Giants' offense has let him down often.
Real quick, too, with the offense, does that tie into the Giants' home issues?
They absolutely.
They don't play in necessarily like the most offensive-friendly ballpark. So if you're not hitting, it's
ties into
be
their
ugly.
Issues, period.
Yeah, it absolutely plays a factor because
it'll be a lot more ugly. We're like 3-18 or whatever it was at home, because like that park is not built for it. And you just topple that on top of you're not hitting, like, yeah, you're just cooked.
I agree 100%. When you have an offense that can't do anything in general, it's definitely going to be a problem at Oracle Park. 100% going to be a problem at Oracle Park. So That's the killer. I was looking at some of Verlander's starts. He didn't get his first win until July 23rd. But he had an outing on June 29th against the White Sox. Six innings, five hits, one earned run. That was a loss.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like he
that was at home?
That was on the road.
Okay.
At home against Arizona, he went six innings, gave up nine hits, but only two earned runs, lost 2-1. He's had more decent outings than I probably give him credit for. It's just the offense has been awful a lot of the times in his starts and just in general. So good for him to get that win at home.
Well, maybe the Giants can build some momentum at Oracle Park here before this season ends. But they gained a game. Casey's journey out here. Don't stop believing.
Need to be four back by September 7th.
They got one last night. Is it six now or six and a half?
I think they might be
half?
Five and a half.
Six.
It might be six and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oof. All right. We started today talking with the insiders about the Sacramento Kings and championship players and kind of led to a pretty spirited discussion. It kind of centered on Keegan Murray. It really took off when Kyle asked the question, who on this Sacramento Kings team could be on a championship team? And I think you and I both misunderstood that question at first because like a lot of these guys could. Mm-hmm. Kyle meant if, because, you know, the conversation was about multiple ways to build a contender.
Yeah.
And how you approach getting to a contending team isn't universal across the league. Everybody has had different approach, different strategies. I know people like to throw the word tanking around. I know there are some people who believe in their heart of hearts that Oklahoma City tanked. That is not at all what they did. But what they did do is they had brilliant asset management.
Absolutely.
And they did not deviate from the path that they were taking with that whatsoever. And it led them directly to a championship. The Celtics might have had, coming off of what the Celtics were, the 2008, that version of the Boston Celtics, when they finally, you know, moved on in what was it, 10 or 11, they had what it was essentially a one-year rebuild. Like they kind of shut everything down and they shipped Paul Pierce and you know, Ray Allen was gone, shipped Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett out of there, got what they got back from Brooklyn. Brad Stevens comes in from college, this little boy wonder. And again, I think it was maybe 20-something win season to start, maybe a little bit more than that. And then the next year, all of a sudden, oh, I think we've got a competitive basketball team. The year after that, it's all, oh, I think we got a good basketball team. Didn't take asset management. They had a team who was willing to very much overpay for some high-priced veterans. Mm-hmm. We say this all of the time with the pro-tanking crowd. Point to the time that it worked. And 5 years into this show, still waiting for that answer. And so the path to how to build a contender, it varies. And I think what we're all trying to figure out is what path can the Sacramento Kings take and who on this roster can be a part of that ultimate moment. You named off a few more players than I did. You had... refresh me. It was Domas. So, I think Domas, you had Zach LaVine in there.
Zach LaVine, I had Keon, and I said Keegan.
I had Domas. I felt really strongly in saying Keon. I didn't say LaVine, and then Keegan sparked the conversation where James was going through championship contenders, and can you put Keegan Murray on this team, and can you put Keegan Murray on this team? And it feels like we get stuck in this thing where, well, you got to have the right guys around him. And that's not a Keegan Murray thing. That's a Domantas Sabonis thing. Mm-hmm. That's a name 10 other guys type thing where, oh, if you have the right players around him, every team you've got to have the right players around your key guys.
Right.
What I have struggled to figure out is what exact, like in the pecking order, I guess, where Keegan Murray would be on a championship team. And when you bring up the Celtics and I think he brought up Indiana, that handful of others, it's like, yeah, he's like the fourth guy on most of those teams. Mm-hmm. Is everyone comfortable if this team continues to be like, is are you willing to be patient enough for Keegan to be the fourth guy on a successful basketball team? Because he's not going to be the fourth guy next year. Well, actually, he will.
Yeah, actually,
he might be.
That's who he is right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He might be. Okay, so let me reword that, as I forgot DeMar and Zach LaVine are absolutely still here in the real world and not in our fictitious situation. But if Keegan remains the fourth guy, is everybody comfortable with that? Because it feels like people get really antsy when it comes to talking about Keegan Murray.
Yeah, really antsy. Yeah, I personally am 100% comfortable with that. I think the way that you elevate is that 1, 2, and 3 or some combination of them have to be better for this team to reach a certain level. I don't necessarily, it would be great if it happened, but I don't necessarily need Keegan to reach another level. Keegan can be exactly who he is. Those around him, those top end players, that top end talent, that's where you're going to get the improvement. So I think that, yeah, Keegan can be the fourth best player on this team, and it'd be a successful team. It'd be a team that pushes towards a championship, a contending team. You need those other guys. You need either Sabonis, LaVine, because I had those two in there as well, to step their game up, or you need 1 to 2 more players who are better than them on this roster at some point, somehow, some way. The reason why I throw LaVine in there, I'm sorry to cut you off. The reason why I throw LaVine in there is, once again, people speak about LaVine like he's just not good. You get rid of LaVine, you're going to need somebody that averages 23 to 25 points per game, along with what Domas brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying you can't ever find that anywhere, but you actually have it in the building right now. He's not super young, but he's also not ancient. He's 30.
30.
Like, you have that in the building. Yeah, by the time you get to the end of that contract, hopefully you could rework some things and have a better contract that fits better for what you're trying to do. But the actual player is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so at all.
We'll come back. I want to dig a little further into what you just said right there about Zach LaVine and why I think some fans feel the way that they do, and how the persistent problem that plagues this organization is why some people, like our man Patrick, are all about tanking. We'll explain what all of that means. Plus, a question about Doug Christie. Phone lines are open for you. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. There's always a fun thread throughout this show, like during commercial breaks. Today it appears to be burgers. There's just a stream of conversation about burgers.
I love burgers. The thing with me, though, is, like I said during the break, I'm not really experimental with my burgers. I like cheeseburgers.
I don't feel like you're experimental with your food.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Because usually when it's time to eat, I'm hungry. So I don't have time to
experiment. That's H-O-O-O-N. That's when you know it's bad.
Hey.
That's when it's bad.
I don't have time to experiment.
Yeah.
I need to go with what works.
Yep. Yeah.
Because if I get something I don't like, I'm going to be pissed off, and I'm going to spend more money to get to fill me up. I got to get out of that, though, a little bit. I got to take some chances.
What do you guys think has followed me more than this show? The number one defense, my ass, or every time I bring up an egg? Try salt on the egg, Jesse.
It's the egg.
Jeremy says, salt with egg, Jesse? No, like, all right, I get it. All right.
It's the egg. Yeah.
It's the egg.
It is absolutely like the egg. You could predict every Super Bowl and NBA champion correctly for the duration of this show, and no one would care.
So this is that. Can't believe I was the crazy one. That was a wild day for me.
Which one is wilder for you? Number one defense, my ass, or the no salt on the eggs?
Well, the no salt on the eggs, I thought I was the normal one. I thought that was just the regular thing, and I learned, like, nah, it's just, you're kind of tripping, I guess.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I think what made it wild was the way that you said it to us. Like, hey, did you know people put salt and pepper on
their eggs? Yeah,
I
thought they were crazy. I thought you guys were with me. I don't know. I was like, the wild one.
Wait, what did you say? Yeah, that one lives forever with the with the Chatty House for sure.
That's an all-timer.
That's definitely, that is, those are definitely your two defining moments. Number one defense, my ass.
I still don't understand the salt and the egg situation. Come on, man.
What would Kenny's defining moment be? Getting Chatty Housed or OK Lake Show?
Getting Chatty Housed and the OK Lake Show, I guess, because those are just the ones that just,
neck and neck.
They just run over and over.
Yeah.
Shout out to Marta Rosa making $30 million a year.
Wasn't even possible.
From the Los Angeles Clippers, who had like $7 to spend.
I remember sitting there just confused as hell. Like, I don't think, how?
The funny thing, my favorite part about that video is watching Kenny's eyes dart the screen like, wait a minute. Uh-oh. Oh, no. And the fact that you've been Chatty House so many times after that.
Well, now he doesn't even get Chatty House for sports. Like, oh, did you guys know that Kim Kardashian's pregnant?
I asked the question.
No, you didn't. We went back to the room, bro.
Bro.
You were telling us a statement in question form.
Question. Speaking of, I saw North the other day. She's 12 years old.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
What?
Time is a wild thing, man. Yeah. Time is a wild, wild thing. One thing that never changes, whether it's Jesse's hesitancy to put salt on the eggs or Kenny getting fooled by a news story, it is that there is a large number of people who want this Sacramento Kings team to stink. They desperately want them to tank. And we started the day with the insiders talking about, you know, ways to build a championship contender. And obviously that was, you know, navigating around the conversation of tanking, because I think you and I think I speak for all three of us. We are not of the belief that that works. Is it an effective way to build your friend? Like, yeah, if you draft correctly, like, sure. If you're committing long term to your front office and your coach, fine. Like, I saw someone said Oklahoma City absolutely tanked. Like, no, they didn't. They did not tank. They managed their assets flawlessly. They had the greatest heist in history with the Los Angeles Clippers and maximized it. They got Chris Paul in there. They built a team that mattered, you know, during that whole thing. But what we constantly wind up on, you were talking about Zach LaVine and how Zach LaVine is a really good ball player, and you know, you take that $50 million per year out of this and you just talk about the type of player he is. He's a good basketball player. You want that type of player on your team. Some would say he's not a winning basketball player. Like, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but, you know, his Chicago teams haven't been successful. I'm going to put that more on Chicago than I am on Zach LaVine. But then we get to Patrick right here, and Patrick says, tanking gives you the best odds to draft a superstar, which is needed to compete. Not a guarantee, but you have better odds to get one at the top of the draft. And that lies into what I think remains the Sacramento Kings' biggest issue, the guy. You don't have the guy. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about building a contender, it has to, you know, if we're eliminating the tanking component, and it's how do you get that player, that's where I get stuck. Mm. How do you get the guy on this team? I think Kyle... I don't want to mess this up. He presented a scenario that I think was next season, this upcoming season, the one that starts in a month. This upcoming season, the Sacramento Kings are in eighth, 2.5-3 games out of the six. Mm-hmm. Zach LaVine is playing great, leading the team in scoring. Someone calls and says, hey, I got a really solid rotational player here for you and an unprotected first-round pick, and I want Zach LaVine. Mm-hmm. You move off Zach LaVine, you get that unprotected first-round pick, you obviously move off of his salary next year. And the question was, given the scenario that he presented, would you guys do it? And I didn't answer. I think I was the only one who didn't answer. You said you wouldn't do the trade.
No.
You wouldn't do the trade. Hammer didn't answer, but he doesn't have to. We all know. Hammer would do it immediately.
And that's also... The question was asked, and because we're just asking a question, it was a blind team. Like, my answer, anybody's answer might change if it was a specific team.
Right.
Know? So,
and again, we tried to get, you know, we assumed a team making a move like that at that time of the season is probably competing for something. So they're not a lottery team, because it just wouldn't make sense for a lottery team to do something like that. But you wind up with another unprotected first-round pick. And while that pick might not land you the superstar that Patrick is talking about, that or the guy that we constantly reference, it is another draft pick, and it's another asset. And when you get into these conversations about players who want out, front offices who aren't certain about players anymore, aprons, max contract extensions, the Luka Doncic $300 million thing, when you start getting into those conversations, now having multiple first-round picks that you can trade, while also having first-round picks that you can keep, now you're starting to delve into the Oklahoma City Thunder territory.
Right.
And I still don't know if I would do it, because I'm of the mindset, and I'm talking about this trade scenario that Kyle presented. You're in business to win. And if you're in a position to win, I'd have to imagine removing Zach LaVine from the equation is going to make it difficult to win games the second part of the season. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I have to ask myself honest questions. What are we next year? Are we looking at Zach LaVine long term? Are we willing to pay Zach LaVine anything close to what we think he'll want or be able to realistically get in the open market? Mm-hmm. And what is our true future with the core group of guys that are here right now? And if I can comfortably answer all of those questions, I don't do the trade, because I want to win games. Mm-hmm. I want to close that 2.5 game gap. If I don't feel comfortable with my answers or my team's answers, mm-hmm. meaning my front office team, I have to do it.
Yeah, and that's what you just said is what it comes down to for me. If you look at Zach LaVine as potentially somebody that you can help, that can help you build your franchise, build your roster 2-3 years down the road, when he's done with this contract, obviously it's not going to be for $50 million a year. But you say, I want Zach LaVine around for $30, $35 million a year. And you see a future with him, and you don't do it. If you're out of the Zach LaVine business by any means mm-hmm. necessary, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. You make that move.
And I don't know how in that twice. Scenario you could be.
Right.
That's like, what, like if you have it,
well,
yeah.
You're,
like, you what know, do you want from
in
him?
In a playoff race, yeah. He's 30 years old. So considering those things, like you said, I don't know what that would look like if you felt that way about Zach LaVine. Like, I'm out of the business, but he's averaging 25, 26 a night. We're 3 games above 500 right now. Not sure. I don't know if they would happen at the same time. Like, him playing well, you being a good team, and the front office saying we're out. Like, we don't want nothing to do with him. But if it did, if that's the way you looked at it, then you absolutely make that move. Absolutely make that move. I don't disagree. I'll bring this back up again, what Patrick said about tanking, giving you the best odds to draft a superstar. I don't disagree with that at all. I understand the logic and the thought process behind that for sure. But let's look at some of the teams that are the best teams in the league right now. We'll go top six for each side. Did Cleveland get their best player through the draft?
No.
No.
It's Donovan.
Did Boston?
Yes.
Yes. Did New York?
No.
Did Indiana?
No. Well, that was low.
Going down the list.
All right. Go ahead.
And I'll
Pascal's pretty good too, by the way. Obviously referring to Tyrese. So if they answer, no matter what whoever you think is the best player in Indiana, the answer is no.
Right. And I'll amend that to fit more of what Patrick is talking about too. It's not the draft, it's tanking, right? Boston still fits in that. I'm not gonna say they tank, but they got a guy in the top five. You know, Tatum, top five.
Yeah.
So I'll leave them in the category of they got it through tanking. Did Milwaukee get it through tanking?
Their best player? No.
No. So now we're in the Eastern Conference. We're at 4 of the top 5 did not get it through tanking, get their best player by tanking. Did Detroit? We'll say yeah. Kate Cunningham. They were just bad.
So, okay,
too.
Yeah, I was going to say, bad, are we supplementing the word tanking for losing?
But tanking, but Detroit wasn't doing what the Kings are doing right now. I don't think at any point. Like,
okay.
Hey, we've got, I'm just going to throw a name. We've got Marvin Bagley here. We're going to try and win 40 games. They were, no, we stink. We're going to throw the young guys out there.
Yeah.
Let's move over to the West. Oklahoma City by tanking.
No.
They didn't even get it through the draft damn near. SGA was through trade.
Right.
Houston. Tanking.
I know who Houston's best player is now.
Right. That didn't come through tanking.
We'll just dial it back just to last year before KD. Did they get there through tanking?
Who's their best player?
Sengun,
okay.
Sengun also was like the 13th pick.
Yeah, he was.
I'd say no.
I'd say no. Like, the best player, they did not get through tanking. Sengun was in the teens.
Cole brings up, too, they signed guys like Fred VanVleet, so they spent some money.
Yeah, like,
they got their best player, their superstar, their all-star in the teens. They're a no. For me.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're right.
Saying by tanking. No. The Lakers. No.
No.
Denver. Hell no. They got their
absolutely
player.
Absolutely not. In the second round of the draft.
Clippers. No.
No.
It was through trade.
Yeah.
Minnesota. Yes. Number one pick. I'll put that in. I hear what you're saying, but I'll put that in the class. Top five pick is where I'll say, yeah, you got it through tanking.
You call that tanking. I call that dysfunctional.
Yeah. That's where.
I agree with
that's
you guys.
That's it. Like OKC is a Jimmy Butler away from being Sacramento.
No, I agree with you guys 100%.
I mean, OKC. I'm sorry. Minnesota is a Jimmy Butler away from being Sacramento.
I agree with you guys 100%. But for the sake of the argument, I'll just say top five, you got it through tanking.